Hey guys.
Hi.
How you been? You've been behaving yourself? Yeah, okay. Well, it is good to be here. I remembered how to get here. That was a stretch. No, this is different and big and fun, so that's good. Well, Ryan says hello. He is doing really well, actually. and I don't want to kick him out yet. I mean, we still have 6 more weeks to go, but it's been pretty nice having him around, and he has had a really, really good summer so far. He's really kind of taken to this like a duck to water in ways I didn't even think he would. So thank you for all your prayers. I don't want to steal his thunder and tell you all about what he's been doing. You'll have to wait a few more weeks for that. But everything's going great. And we're just plugging along here, and you know, pretty much everything has gone according to plan so far with his sabbatical and with our travel. And the only small wrinkle was that at the end of June, my 91-year-old grandfather died unexpectedly in Iowa. And I say unexpectedly because though he was 91, he was still living independently in a house that he was renting from my mom. He was still going to the gym every single day, going swimming and lifting what weights that he could, and was in really good health. And so it was a pretty big shock. And so I had to fly back there, not only for the funeral, but to help my mom with his house. Because while my mom owns the house, she lives in Oregon. And so we had to make the most of our time back in Iowa, kind of getting things going to kind of wrap up the house and the funeral. So what that meant was that while my mom was getting things ready for the funeral and selecting photos and doing all of those sorts of things, I was in the other room filling big black trash bag after big bag black trash bag with all manner of things that weren't needed, that needed to go, that needed to probably go in like 1960, but we're still there. You know, some of you have that stuff in your house. Get it out now, please. And so I was just kind of, I was in charge of that, right? Have her focus on what she was focused on. I was focused on trying to help her get through some of the initial lift of cleaning out this house. And if you've ever been through this yourself, and I know a lot of you have, I know a lot of you are actually going through that right now, you know how sort of surreal it is to sort through someone's life while evidence of their, you know, daily routines are still everywhere. You know, the calendar's still hanging on the wall. In my grandpa's case, he had one on like every wall. The toothbrush is still by the sink. That chair is still waiting for them right where they left it. And yet you're filling trash bags because you know that they're not coming back, and none of this is really needed anymore. And so as we worked our way through the house, bag after bag, box after box, I really couldn't shake this question, and it just kept coming to the surface, like, is this what really remains after a lifetime? A basement full of literal junk, closets full of old appliances, curio cabinet after curio cabinet after curio cabinet of knickknacks, drawers full of possessions that once seemed important, but now no one really knows quite what to do with them. It's a really bizarre experience. And I think somewhere around bag 15, I stopped thinking about my grandparents' life and I started thinking about mine. Because someday, someone, probably those two, are going to stand in my garage, in my office, in my kitchen. They're gonna open up my drawers and my closets, and they're going to sort through my things. And they're gonna have to decide what to sell, what to donate, what to keep, what to just throw in the trash. And it, again, it all made me wonder, when my life is over, what will really remain? And I don't think that most of us spend a lot of time asking that question. You know, it's a lot easier to just distract ourselves from that question by spending our lives building careers, raising families, accumulating things, chasing accomplishments, making memories, and putting off dealing with that junk drawer. And, you know, none of those things are bad. I mean, maybe the junk drawer, but none of those things are bad. Many of them are gifts from God, but standing in my grandpa's house, listening to that grandfather clock tick on the wall and watch just a lifetime of possessions become decisions that somebody else had to make, I couldn't help but wonder, beyond all the stuff, beyond what anyone decides to keep or toss, what actually remains of a life? And so as I sat with that question, I thought about Psalm 78, and that's where we're going to spend a bunch of time today. And I just want to read it for you. If you have YouVersion, you can grab it in there or just follow along on the screens. And it says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." Now, what do you notice here? Since I am like, you know, captain of the word nerd club, what stands out to me in this passage is all the verbs. Listen, teach, know, remember, open, tell, set, keep, obey. Actions, right? Verbs are action words. And unless something has changed, the last time I checked, all of those things were things that only living people do. I don't know that you can do those things at your own funeral, even with AI. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think that's the point of this psalm. Legacy is not a someday conversation. It's a daily decision. It's something that's active. It's something that we're actively building and engaged with. And so the psalmist in this passage isn't focused on what gets left behind after someone dies. The psalmist is focused on what gets intentionally passed on while we're still living. And that's a different way of thinking about legacy. It's a subtle but significant shift that suggests legacy isn't what you leave behind when you die. It's what you pass on while you live. Now, that's not to say that physical assets don't matter, right? You're probably thinking, well, doesn't Proverbs tell us, you know, a good person leaves behind an inheritance for her children's children? Yes, of course, that's a biblical principle. We're to be good stewards with that so that we have something physical to pass on. But Psalm 78 reminds us that there is an inheritance that money can't buy. The story of God's faithfulness, a life that points people to God. And I think most of us hear the word legacy and we maybe immediately think about the end of our life. We think about what people are going to say at our funeral, what we're going to leave to our families, or whether anyone will remember us after we're gone. But Psalm 78, it starts somewhere completely different. It starts with ordinary people intentionally passing on what matters most. And what are they told to pass on? Well, it says, tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and about his mighty wonders. It says, tell about the faithfulness, about God's power, about his commands, about his promises. It doesn't say, tell the next generation how successful you were. Tell the next generation, make sure you keep the Christmas dishes. It doesn't even say, you know, build up a bunch of real estate and give it away to your family. It doesn't say that. It says, tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders, because that is the kind of legacy that actually lasts, because it continues. And so every one of us is going to leave a legacy. That is not in question here. Our lives are influencing, they're teaching, and they're shaping the people around us every single day, whether we are being intentional about it or not. We are all going to leave a legacy. And so the question is whether we're going to simply leave behind stuff or we're going to pass on what matters most while we're still here. And either way, Psalm 78 reminds us that no generation starts from scratch. Before one generation can tell the next generation about the faithfulness of God, someone had to first tell them. Before any of us can pass something on, we have to first receive it. Because faith isn't something that we can just go out and discover on our own. It's something that we receive before we pass it on. And that's how God designed this whole business to work, right? That's how he designed faith to move from one generation to the next. None of us got here on our own. And so if you're following Jesus today, chances are someone had a hand in that process, in your story. Someone prayed for you. Someone taught you. Someone encouraged you. Someone pointed you towards Jesus, maybe very directly or maybe indirectly. Someone faithfully passed on to you what matters most. Now, the Apostle Paul recognized this in his very last letter to a young pastor named Timothy. Paul, at the very end of his life, was sitting in a Roman prison, again, but this time for the last time, knowing that his life was likely coming to an end. And do you know what was on his mind? It wasn't his accomplishments or his reputation or his possessions. What was on Paul's mind is that he wanted to make sure that the gospel kept moving forward. That's what he was thinking about. So he writes in 2 Timothy 1:5 to Timothy, he says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that that same faith continues strong in you." I love this verse because before Paul tells Timothy what to do, he reminds him of where his faith came from. It first lived in your grandmother and then in your mother, and now it lives in you, Timothy. One generation receiving the story of God's faithfulness and passing it on to the next. But Paul doesn't stop there, because Paul never stops there. He reminds Timothy that receiving a legacy of faith isn't enough. It has to become his own. And so he continues in verse 6. He says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." Amen. And that's Psalm 78 in action, right? Lois passing on her faith to Eunice, Eunice passing it on to Timothy, and now Paul saying, don't let it stop with you, Timmy. Don't let it stop with you. I have been through too much to let this end here. So fan it into flame. Live it boldly. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Pass it on, because legacy is not what you leave behind when you die. It's what you pass on while you live. Timothy wasn't called to simply preserve what he received. He was called to live it and give it away. And again, that's how God has always, always, always chosen to work. Not primarily through what people physically leave behind, but through the people they intentionally invest in while they are here. Which brings us back to us. Because every one of us is somewhere in that story. We have all received something. The question is whether or not we're going to faithfully pass it on or get distracted, accumulating a bunch of stuff someone is just going to throw into a big black trash bag anyway. For real. And so This can kind of seem intimidating, but the beautiful thing is that this doesn't have to be extraordinary, right? This isn't accomplished in these big, extraordinary ways. In order to leave the kind of legacy that Psalm 78 is calling us through, this really just happens through a lifetime of ordinary faithfulness. One conversation at a time, one story at a time, one act of obedience at a time. It's not flashy, it's not glamorous, but it is intentional. And we need to think about it, right? Because this kind of legacy means you've got to choose it every day. You've got to choose to faithfully invest into the people God has placed in your life. And those people, at the risk of stating the obvious, are going to look different for all of us. They're not going to look the same, right? For some of us, that's like our literal children and our grandchildren. For others, it's coworkers and neighbors and friends and teachers and teammates and someone who you just met who needs to know Jesus. You know, I think what gets missed often is that, like, Paul never had children of his own, right? Yet few people influenced more generations than he did, because he knew that legacy is not about having descendants. Legacy is about making disciples. And so you don't have to have a big family or all these people around you to disciple people. You just don't. It's not about having descendants. It's about having disciples. You know, it's the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? Go, make disciples of all nations. And every one of us, every single one of us has been given people to influence at different points in our life, right? And we are, as Hebrews 10:24 says, we're called to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We just got to use our lives with what we have to spur one another on. And so sometimes that means opening a Bible with someone or encouraging them when they're ready to give up. It does mean that. You know, sometimes it can be not even as spiritual as that, right? It can mean believing in someone before they believe in themselves, or opening a door that changes the direction of their life. Maybe you help them get a job, or you know this person who they need to meet because they might be very compatible. You could be a matchmaker, and this counts. It all counts, guys. You just have to consistently be faithful where you are. And it can also look like, you know, tithing to the local church, you know, giving your money to Convoy of Hope and other parachurch organizations, you know, opening your home to those who need a safe place to feel seen and heard and well fed. This can take on so many different ways, just depending on where you are and who is around you. And so these decisions, these actions to invest in the people around you might feel ordinary, but that's how God has always worked, through ordinary people who faithfully invest in others while they are here. That's how Lois and Eunice shaped Timothy, and that's how God still works today. And so you don't have to change everyone's life. You really don't. But you do have to be faithful to the people that God puts in yours, reminding yourself as often as you can that legacy isn't what you leave behind when you die. It's what you pass on while you live. Now, I've seen this play out in my own life in so many ways, but in one in particular way that I didn't notice until a few weeks ago when I was back in Iowa for my grandpa's funeral. I had the chance to kind of reconnect with a bunch of people from my childhood. And while I was there, my mom absolutely insisted. I said, I will get a hotel, it's not a big deal, and she insisted that I stay with this couple in their 80s named Dan and Janice Parker. Dan and Janice have been a part of my family story for as long as I can remember, since before I was born. And I want to tell you a little bit about them, because they're amazing. But here we go. So my mom and dad got married right out of high school in Iowa. And then when they were just married, they took jobs with Dan and Janice's gasoline distributing company, Parker Distributing, right? So there's my mom in the checkered shirt, my dad behind her, Dan and Janice on the other sides. And my mom, like, they joke, my mom didn't know, but she was pregnant with me, so she took this job and then had to tell Dan, oh, by the way, I'm having a baby. But anyway, The Parkers immediately took my parents under their wing. They became mentors and friends, and in every way that mattered, they became family. So that by the time I was born, I was like their honorary first grandchild, and they treated me as such. I was on their boat. They bought me bikes. They took us everywhere and did everything for us just as a grandparent would. They were the fun grandparents who weren't actually grandparents. They invested in my parents during those early years in ways that went far, far beyond work. They opened doors. They introduced them to new people, new experiences, and to a world far larger than what they had at their fingertips in their small Iowa town. Sitting in their living room a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to just talk to them a little about my dad. My dad died in 2018, and I hadn't talked to Dan and Janice about that or since then. And, you know, through a lot of conversation, we had a great conversation, and then Dan got really quiet, and then he started to cry. And he just said, you know, your dad was my favorite and best employee, and I miss him, and he was amazing, and so was your mom. And that is really saying something, because when I was 5 years old, my dad was offered a job that would take him off of the streets, you know, driving truck, and would bring him home more to be with my brother and I. And this job would also give him the opportunity to do the thing that he was most gifted in this whole world to do, and that is train Hackney show ponies. And so this incredible opportunity came up. The only catch was that in order to say yes to it, my dad would have to pick up and move our family 2,000 miles west to a 23-acre ranch in Montecito, California, and start all over. Now, that sounds ridiculous, right? Like, of course, go from the cornfields to the coast. Just do it. This is not hard. This is not a hard decision, but it was. Both my parents came from very large Catholic families. All of their roots were there. No one left Iowa. No one. And now here, they were with this opportunity to go somewhere and do something that no one else was doing, and it was a leap for them. It was a harder decision to make than it sounds like on this side of it. And so as it happened, around the same time that my parents needed to make this decision, Dan and Janice were visiting their children. One of their daughters was living in Southern California at the time. And so they did something remarkable and generous and something that changed the whole course of my life. They decided, you know what, we'll go up to Santa Barbara. We'll scope it out. We'll see what it's like. Your future boss, who's going to take you from us, we'll go see. We'll go see what she's all about. So they went. They went and basically vetted this opportunity for their favorite and best employees. Like, who does that? I don't know. And so after seeing it for themselves, they came back. They came back to Iowa, and they were convinced. And they said, you know, even though it meant losing two employees and two people that they loved dearly, they encouraged my parents to go. And so a month before I turned 6, my parents threw us in a station wagon and they drove us west. And our lives were never, never, ever, ever the same. And Dan is now at the end of his life. He has cancer. And as I left his house this time, I knew, like, I'm never going to see him again. I'm never going to see him again. I'm never going to have an opportunity again to say what I need to say to him. And so before I left, he had to head to the doctor, and I was heading to the airport. I got to pull them aside, apart from my mom, and I got to thank them. I got to thank them for believing in my parents, for encouraging them to take a chance, for opening a door that changed the trajectory of my family's life. And I really wanted and needed them to know that I would not have had the childhood I had or the life I have today without the investment that they made in a young couple over 40 years ago. Dan and Janice, I don't know what they were thinking back then. I think they just thought they were encouraging a young couple. And they had no idea that they were shaping a family. They had no idea that they were shaping my life and the life of my future family. And they had no idea that the courage to go that they helped cultivate in my parents would one day shape my own willingness to say yes to every single cross-country move, every single church move that God called Ryan and I to make. Every time we had to make a decision like that, I knew I can do this. My parents did this. They took the risk, right? It's that David Crowder lyric, risk the ocean, there's only grace. I learned that because Dan and Janice kind of demanded that my parents go figure that out. And that is legacy. That's faithfully and selflessly investing in people that God puts in front of you. And so I know I've shared a lot of my story today, but that's what this is, right? Voices. And I wanted to use my voice today to just simply remind you all that you have something to pass on. You have something to pass on, and it's not something to be saved for someday. It's for today, right here, right now. You have a story. You have influence. You have encouragement to give. You have doors you can open. You have people God has intentionally placed in your life for such a time as this. And so don't underestimate what God can do through your ordinary faithfulness. You may never know how far your influence reaches. In fact, you won't. You may never see all that God does through that one conversation or that one act of generosity or that one word of encouragement or that one decision to believe in someone before they believe in themselves. You might not see that, but God does. And that's exactly what Psalm 78 was calling God's people to do. Not simply to be remembered, but to help the next generation set its hope anew on God. So as we close, I just want to leave you with this. As you're thinking about your own legacy, I want you to know that the greatest legacy isn't what people remember about you. It's about what they remember about God because of you. And that is a legacy that will last. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the people who have faithfully invested in each and every one of us. Thank you for the parents and bosses and coworkers and mentors, the pastors, the teachers, the friends, the ordinary people you used to get us here, to help us know you. None of us have arrived here on our own, God. We know that. We are here because someone chose to pass on what mattered most. Lord, we confess that it's easy to spend so much time thinking about what we're building and collecting and accomplishing, that we lose sight of the people you've placed right in front of us. And so today, Lord, I just ask that you would forgive us of that. Forgive us for the times we've overlooked opportunities you've given to encourage, to teach, to serve, or to simply just show up. Help us, God, to remember that legacy isn't something we leave behind someday. It's something we choose to invest in alongside you every single day. Lord, give us eyes this week to see the people you've entrusted to us. Give us courage to open our mouths when we need to speak or close them when we don't. Give us courage and compassion to show up when someone is hurting. Give us wisdom to know when to encourage, and humility to faithfully point people to you instead of to ourselves. May our lives, Lord, tell the story of your faithfulness. And so as we leave today, help us to be the kind of people who make it easier for the next generation to set its hope anew on God. May they remember your goodness because someone took the time to tell them, to love them, to believe in them, to walk with them. And thank you for Jesus most of all, whose faithfulness made it possible for all of us to become part of your family. May we faithfully pass along that hope until the day that we see you face to face. Lord, may our lives be the kind of lives that help the next generation set its hope anew on you. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus, who has given us an internal inheritance and entrusted us with the hope of the gospel. We love you, God. Amen.